Glory to God. Thank God for the word. Thank God for faith in Christ Jesus. Thank God for the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. The gospel is the power of God to save. The gospel is the power of God to save. Hallelujah. And the gospel is the only healthy diet for spiritual maturity. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 2, and as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. The word babes there is not referring to some category or set of Christians. It's just a simile. That is, we should desire the sincere milk of the word of God as newborn babes also desire, you know, nutrition or desire food from their parents. Hallelujah. So it's a simile. We should desire the sincere milk of the word like babies. Hallelujah. So it's not referring to a particular set of people. It is teaching the kind of attitude we all ought to have towards the word of God. Like babies, we ought to yearn for the word of God. So he says to desire the sincere milk of the word. The sincere milk of the word speaks of God's word in its unadulterated form and state. The pure, unadulterated truth of the word of God. Hallelujah. That is the only healthy diet for spiritual maturity. A believer cannot grow beyond what he feeds on. There are many believers today who go to church, they keep going to church, and they are tired of church. They are tired of going to church because their lives are not changing. But the problem is not with them as much as it is with what they are being fed. Hallelujah. You see, no matter how healthy a child is, if the child is being fed with poison or some unhealthy diet regularly some diet that is not balanced regularly, it will stunt the growth of that person. If it's poison, it will lead to death. Hallelujah. Thank God the life of God cannot be snuffed out, but you can have stunted growth spiritually. You can get to a point in your life where you are not making any progress in the faith and you know it. You can sense it. You feel it. Praise God. Everything within you knows that there's no maturity. Many of us were at such, you know, spots in our lives before. We were at such spots in our lives where we knew we were not growing in the faith. We were just confused. So the problem is with the diet. Hallelujah. So there's such a thing as the sincere milk of the word. God's word in its purity. Many times people emphasize purity of lifestyle. Purity of lifestyle. How you ought to lead a pure life. Walk in purity. How you ought not to, you know, corrupt yourself with immorality and all that. People often emphasize purity of life, and then there's less emphasis on purity of doctrine. Hallelujah. Less emphasis on purity of doctrine, whereas it is purity of doctrine that bears purity of life. If a man is going to lead a pure life according to scriptures, he must be exposed to purity of doctrine too, the sincere milk of the word. That's why Paul will give instruction to Timothy. He says, take it to yourself and to the doctrine, for in so doing you will save both yourself and those who hear you. It is by the doctrine you will preserve yourself and those who hear you. So purity of doctrine is what bets purity of lifestyle. Hallelujah. Purity of doctrine is what bets purity of lifestyle. Let me quickly show you this. Glory. Let me show you this quickly at 2 Timothy rather, chapter 3. Purity of doctrine first. God's word is the only healthy diet. You know, we are teaching on discernment, biblical discernment. But then I'm just led to share this at the beginning of this broadcast. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Glory to God. Look at this now. I'll read from verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3 from verse 1. Bible says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Hallelujah. You see, the lifestyle that is described in this place, this awful, awkward lifestyle that is described in this place, this lifestyle of immorality and, you know, unholiness that is described in this place, is as a result of holding on to a form of godliness and denying its power. And what is this exactly? He says, and from such people turn away. Look at verse 6. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts. Verse 7, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Have you seen now that the problem is with the knowledge they are exposed to? Always learning. But in all their learning, they are not able to come to the knowledge of the truth. What is the knowledge of the truth? The message of Christ. The knowledge of Christ. What he has done. The salvation message. Men who are always learning. They are so studious. Always feeding on scriptures. Always studying. Going for Bible study. Praise God. Always learning. Searching the scriptures. Digging deep. But not coming to the knowledge of the truth. That's the problem. So it will birth this kind of immoral lifestyle that is described at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. Hallelujah. Look at verse 8. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapproved concerning the faith. So you see there's a resisting of the truth. There's a resisting of the truth. Men like these are the ones that will produce men who are walking in all kinds of immoral, you know, characters and behaviors. Men who are proud, men who are boasters, arrogant, lovers of money, to be dear to parents, unthankful, unholy. You know, all these men are products of unsound doctrine. So purity of doctrine first, then we have purity of lifestyle. Hallelujah. So I said God's word, the gospel, is the only healthy diet for spiritual maturity. That is what saves, that is what also brings spiritual maturity. Acts 20:32. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in him. Glory to God. So that is the only thing that bets spiritual growth and maturity. It's only the word of the gospel that is able to build us up in the faith. I welcome you to another episode of Every Day with Jesus podcast. And this is episode 122. I'll be studying biblical discernment. I've been studying biblical discernment. We've seen the importance of discernment in scriptures. We've seen how the Bible teaches and urges us to be discerning as believers. Hallelujah. The Bible instructs us to be discerning. And then we've seen in scriptures how this discernment is something we ought to be deliberate about. We ought to be intentional about it. It is not something we are going to do accidentally. It is not something we are going to do passively. It is something we are to do intentionally and deliberately. We have to be on the lookout. We have to be watchful, vigilant. Hallelujah. And I said, there's no such thing as, I'm just here to be blessed. I won't test anything. You see, both are not mutually exclusive. You can be there to be blessed and to test the things you are receiving. Hallelujah. In fact, let me put this to you. You cannot be blessed if you do not test what you are receiving. Praise God. If what is being taught and preached and heralded is not the truth and you are just there receiving, you will not be blessed. Hallelujah. It is not the cause. You will not be blessed. The only reason why you'll be blessed is if when what you are receiving is the truth of the word of God. And how do you know it's the truth of the word of God? By proving it from scriptures. Hallelujah. So it is not out of place to scrutinize, to judge, to examine, to test the word of men. The Bible instructs us to do so. Praise God. And then we closed yesterday in the podcast, in the series, in the teaching yesterday, we closed on this note that the instructions to beware in scriptures are instructions given us, you know, against men, warning us against men, not against Satan. Though it is Satan that is working through men, the instruction is for us to beware of men. Hallelujah. And I said yesterday that the reason for this is because Satan walks through men. Praise God. Have you seen Satan before? Let me just wherever you are, just wave your hand. Whether you're in a bus on your way to work or you're listening alone in your sitting room. If you have seen Satan before, just wave your hand wherever you are. Praise God. I don't know nobody is going to wave his hand, and that's why I'm saying you should wave your hand, because there's nobody today living on the face of the earth today that has seen Satan before. Satan is such a deceiver. He hides himself. He will never be seen. Praise God. In fact, many times when people say they saw, you know, they saw Satan, they saw demons. You know, all these people who got converted, and then they say that when before they were saved, they were second in command to Satan. They were eating and drinking with Satan and all that. You actually didn't see Satan. Praise God. None of them saw Satan because Satan is a deceiver by default. Hallelujah. Many of the things he told them that they received as the truth is deception. That is why it's wrong for them to be converted and then you now give them the mic in church for them to begin to educate the saints concerning the word of the occult. We don't need it because whatever Satan told them while they were unsaved is a lie, is deception. That's how come he has told over 1,000, you know, hundreds of thousands of people, you are second in command. Praise God. He's just busy deceiving all of them. So you are second in command. He tells another person, you are second in command. You are second in command. And then nobody has seen him. Nobody has seen Satan. Praise God. Because he's a deceiver. He's a deceiver. He's crafty. Glory to God. So I said all that to say that you won't see Satan, but you will have an encounter with men who are submitted or yielded to his influence. Hallelujah. That's why the instruction is a caution against men. It is not about Satan. It's a caution against men because Satan is at work through men. In the temptation of Jesus, for instance, Satan did not physically appear to Jesus. Bible says Jesus was tempted in the same manner in which we are tempted. In the same manner, just like we are tempted. So that means the temptation of Jesus happened in his mind, though Satan was the one presenting those thoughts. But it was not that Jesus saw Satan physically. Hallelujah. It was not a physical encounter. So it's temptation the same way we are tempted. That's the same way Satan does not come to anybody to preach or to teach doctrine. He inspires men to preach his deceptions, his lies. Hallelujah. Inspires men to eroude his falsehood, his deception, his distortions of the word of God are being erouded by men. Let me show you something very quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's learn this again. The reason why the instruction is a caution against men is because Satan works through men. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I'll read from verse 1. Bible says, "Oh, that you will bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy." What does that mean, godly jealousy? It means zeal. Hallelujah. That is, you know, you're laboring over some people, and then you find out that they're already yielding to false teaching. You know, there's this zeal. There's this zeal within you that is just stirred up at that sight. At the discovery of the fact that the people you are teaching the word of God are being misled, they are being made to stumble, you just begin to burn with indignation. Hallelujah. You begin to burn within your heart. You are angry in a way that, you know, we can see it all over you that you are not pleased. Praise God. It's godly jealousy. Praise God. So this jealousy is not jealousy in the sense that we use it today in the natural. Praise God. It's godly jealousy, and that's a kind of oxymoron. That is two contradictory words. I mean, you can't have godly and jealousy at the same time. It's just an oxymoron. And if you look at the word jealous at verse 2 as used by Paul, if you look at the Amplified, it says, "I'm zealous for you," because in the Greek, the word also means zeal. Praise God. It means to be zealous for somebody. So this jealousy is zeal for people. Hallelujah. So you've espoused them to Christ, and then rather than, you know, they feeding and receiving from Christ, they are submitting to others. They are receiving from a different source. They are feeding from, you know, the craftiness of the serpent. So you have zeal for them. And you know that zeal is seen in how you react to those strange influences that they submit to. At verse 29 of 2 Corinthians 11, you know, the same chapter, look at what Paul says. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 29. Paul says, "Who is weak and I'm not weak? Who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation?" That's what I said earlier on. That is, you are so zealous for these guys that when you see them submitting to strange influences, you burn with indignation. I mean, there's just anger, you know, there's anger against those influences. You're not angry with men and, you know, getting bitter towards them. I mean, but the anger is against those influences and what they are doing to those guys, what they are doing, the damage they are doing to their minds. You're not happy with it. You're not satisfied. And it shows. It's something we can see. Praise God. It's a zeal we can see physically written all over you that you're not happy. You're not pleased with what is going on. Praise God. So back to verse 2. "For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ, but I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may also be corrupted, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Hallelujah. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. Have you seen? Paul is saying, see, guys, if another person comes presenting something else to you, it's possible you just receive it. And that will be awkward. Hallelujah. Now go to verse 12. Look at this. Go to verse 12. Glory to God. Verse 12. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. Verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transformed himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Have you seen? Hallelujah. Have you seen this now? Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. Not only that, he is ministers. Hallelujah. Say with me, he's ministers. So Satan has ministers. Praise God. The same way God has his ministers, he has his servants, he has men who proclaim and herald the truth of the word of God. Satan also has his own ministers. Praise God. Now, this is where it gets so scary. Hallelujah. Because this deception is not looking like some unplanned, accidental, you know, stuff. This is not looking like men who are just ignorant and then they are saying things they also received. Apart from a particular set or category of people who are victims of false teachers, who then go on to propagate or hand down the same things they've received, there are men who deliberately transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. This is where it gets so scary. Hallelujah. That a man can be deliberately given over to falsehood. Hallelujah. A man can be deliberately given over to falsehood. I mean, a classic example, you know, is found in the scriptures. Those Pharisees and Sadducees, those guys were deliberate deceivers, intentional deceivers. They were intentional about falsehood and deception. They knew that Jesus died and he rose again from the dead. They covered the whole thing and they said, see, they came to steal his body. Those were guys who were deliberate about falsehood. They will stop at nothing to make sure that the truth is not known. Hallelujah. They will do their best to suppress the truth of the word of God in unrighteousness. Have you seen? So there are men who deliberately come into the mist to pervert the truth of the word of God. Hallelujah. I mean, they knew that Peter and John healed the man who had been lame for over 40 years. They said, a notable miracle has been performed. We cannot deny it. But we must warn them and threaten them that they should spread this no further. What is that? That's an intentional approach to deceiving men. Hallelujah. And such men exist. Now listen, you don't even want to start saying, such men exist, but I know this man. See, many times that is the problem with many Christians. Hallelujah. We begin to satisfy the conscience of men, satisfy the motives of men and the intentions of men and the motivations behind, the ministries of men without even knowing them. Many of the people we are vouching for are people we don't know. You don't know their intentions. You don't know their motives. Hallelujah. Because it is God that tests and proves and judges the motives and the intent of men. What we are to judge are the words of men. So until you are proven by God to be genuine and, just ignorant, I have no business trying to prove that a man is ignorant or a man is deliberate or a man is intentional or a man is not intentional. I have no business doing that. My focus should be on judging what he said. Hallelujah. Judging what he said. That is it. I'm not one to be satisfying anybody's motives. Mine is to judge what is said and what is presented. Because there's the possibility of men deliberately transforming themselves into ministers of righteousness, though they are ministers of unrighteousness. It is possible that men are ministers of Satan and they know. They've yielded themselves to pervert the gospel and they know. They are aware of it. Hallelujah. They have their agenda, they have their schemes and plans. Glory be to God. This is very, very, very grave. So you see, because of this reality, Our concern or focus should not be on trying to judge or test the motives of men. It's about their message. Hallelujah. It's about the message. It's about what they are saying. Forget the motives. Ultimately, it is God that tests and judges the motives of men. Hallelujah. I know there are times when people's motives are clear to us. And, you know, this has to do with people who are close to us or, you know, people we have come to relate with, people that are, you know, we're associated with one way or the other. They are, sometimes their motives are very clear to us based on the things they say. Hallelujah. For instance, somebody that says, you know, they think they are the only ones who can teach. They think they are the only ones who can preach from the word of God. They think they are the only ones who can do Greek and Hebrew. And things like, you see, when a man is talking like that, his motives are being spoken. Praise God. So there are times when people's motives are clear to us. Hallelujah. Or somebody who says, ah, see, I can't just be preaching on like this. Oh, I mean, there's no money. There's no money in this ministry. I mean, all this while I've just been preaching, no money. Such a man is already speaking out his motives. He's in the ministry for the sake of money, for the sake of what he stands to gain. Praise God. So sometimes the motives of men are spoken. We can see them clearly, just as, you know, Paul saw it in some guys. And we're going to come to that. But you see, ultimately, it is God that judges and tests the motives of men. Our own focus should be on testing what people say, their message. Hallelujah. The message. Look at Romans chapter 16, verse 17 to 18. See, the emphasis in scriptures is on testing the message. Hallelujah. That's how to be discerning. The message. What is the person saying? Glory to God. Such that the man can have a good motive, in quote, so to speak, and then his message is misleading. Another person can have a false motive, and his message is a blessing to the body of Christ. And then we're going to see that. Look at Romans 16, verses 17 and 18. Praise God. Bible says, now I urge you, brethren, not those who cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are sought do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. So what are we to test? The message, the doctrine. It says, mark those who cause divisions contrary to the doctrine which you learned. Men who have smooth speeches and flattering words. Men who through smooth speeches and flattering words deceive the hearts of the simple. So it is by what they are saying, we are able to mark them as men causing division contrary to the doctrine we have received. Galatians 1, 7 to 9. We saw this yesterday. Let's see it again. Galatians chapter 1, verse 7 to 9. This is Paul speaking. Paul says, Galatians 1, 7. Let me start from verse 6. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. The word accursed actually means to be avoided, to be rejected or refused. Hallelujah. Of course, he also has the element of, you know, the person being damned. But in this context, it means to reject the person. Let the person be accursed. Let the person be rejected. Withdraw from such a person. Have you noticed that Paul is not saying, if anybody is preaching another gospel, you know, first find out whether his motives are right now. You can't just let him be accursed. You can't just, you know, withdraw from him or let him, you know, forsake him or reject him. Before you reject him, first examine whether his motives are great. No! It is not about his motives. It's about the message. Listen carefully. It takes being sentimental and sometimes being dishonest to be playing the motive card in matters of doctrine. Because the Bible does not present it this way. Hallelujah. The Bible does not present it this way. The Bible does not say we should first examine the person's motives or intentions or motivation. No. The Bible says to judge what is said, the message. Hallelujah. Because whether you have a good intention or wrong or bad intention, good motive, bad motive, it doesn't matter. If your message or your words are misleading, damnable, heretical, and destructive, then they will ruin your hearers. Hallelujah. So it's not about your motives, it's about the message. First, what we are to test and judge and discern is what men are saying. Glory to God. And you know, because Bible likens the word of God to food, this illustration wouldn't be out of place. Imagine somebody who is trying to, you know, with a good motive, feed your baby, a day-old baby, with pepper soup. Imagine that, pepper soup or rice or pounded yam and things like that. A day-old baby. The person just fills up the feeder with pepper soup sauce. The truth of the matter is, even if the person is your parent, you would, from that point in time, you begin to suspect that person. Hallelujah. People will begin to doubt and question the motive of that person from that day, even if the motives are right. Hallelujah. Because your actions have betrayed your intentions. Glory to God. Your actions have betrayed your intentions. So when it comes to receiving from men, it is first about their message before it's about their motives. You know why? The message is what we can receive, is what we can relate with, is what we can touch. Hallelujah. The motives are hidden from us. Glory to God. The motives are hidden from us. The only thing we can relate with and see and discern is the message, is their words. Praise God. Look at this other place. Hallelujah. So we have to test what people say. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. I think we saw this in the previous teaching, but let's see it again. Colossians chapter 2, and look at verse 8. Okay, that was when we're working through scriptures to see how Bible instructs us to beware. So let's see, what are we to beware of? Colossians 2, verse 8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy. That's a thought that is spoken. Philosophy, the wisdom of men. Let no one cheat you through philosophy. Empty deceit according to the tradition of men. Have you seen the tradition of men? According to the basic principles of the world and not according to Christ. So what are we to judge? What are we to beware of? Philosophies of men, traditions of men, basic principles of this world. You see, all these are doctrines of men. Things spoken, words, message. Those are the things to judge and test. Hallelujah. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. Glory to God. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1 to 2. It's all about the message. Don't get distracted. Don't lose focus. Don't be carried away by trying to examine the motives of men. It's not been given to you ultimately to judge motives. What you are to judge is the message. The only time we have a right to judge the motives of men is when it's so visible and clear that this is the reason why they are doing what they are doing according to scriptures. According to scriptures, because Romans 16, 17 to 18, which we read earlier, shows us that there are those who are serving their belly, whose God is their belly, who through smooth, words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. So when you see somebody who is so emphatic about money and all, it's so clear from scriptures that this one is deliberate about his deception. Praise God. So only on such grounds. Hallelujah. And you see that even in this case, it is not scriptures exempting them. Hallelujah. Or making excuses for them. It is scriptures showing us the motive, the evil motives behind what they are doing. So this is different from you saying, well, his motives are great, are right, though what he's saying is wrong. This is scriptures showing us that, see, what they are saying is wrong and their motives are also equally wrong. Praise God. And secondly, the one I mentioned earlier, in the which, based on our relationship, conversation with certain men, we can clearly see their motives in the things they say, hallelujah, and in how they, behave themselves. So that's all. But I mean, for people who, you can't even see an emphasis on money, though their doctrines are misleading, you can't see an emphasis on, you can't see them profiting from, false teaching. I mean, we really cannot ascertain why they are doing what they are doing. They may be genuinely ignorant of those things. They may be deliberate about it. We really don't know. And we have to leave it at that. Praise God. We have to leave it at that. Because there are many other motives that are hidden. There are many other motives that are not, necessarily about trying to make money from the ministry. Sometimes the motive is just to have a name for yourself. Sometimes the motive is just to be seen as a disciplinarian, somebody who is so strict, somebody who upholds a high level of morals. Do you understand? So there are many hidden motives. Many of those legalists have such motives of just, being seen as men who are so righteous and all that. So many motives that are hidden from us. That's why we don't need to get ourselves, preoccupied with trying to judge and analyze motives. Let's just judge what is said and we're going to be fine. So 2 Peter chapter 2 from verse 1, Bible says, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. Have you seen again? They will secretly bring in destructive heresies. This also does not sound like people who are ignorant. So I'm repeating this, that there are folks who are actually deliberate. They know what they are doing. They will secretly bring in destructive heresies. So what are we to judge? The word, the message, the heresies, the teachings.
scrutinize and examine it, whether it is of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let me close with this. Philippians chapter 1, verse 15 to 18. So a man can even have false motives, and then he's preaching Christ, and we have to receive what he's saying. What he's saying is beneficial to the body, and then we have to rejoice about it. Though his attitude and character is not something we ought to emulate, we should have nothing against his message. Philippians chapter 1, hallelujah. Look at from verse 15. The Bible says, some indeed preach Christ, even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice. Yes, and will rejoice. So there were folks who were preaching the gospel as a way to get at Paul. Praise God. Yeah, he thinks he's the only one who can preach. He thinks he's the only apostle. He's the only great apostle. Imagine him saying he has labored more than they all. Things like that. They just were envious. They were preaching out of competition. It was clear to Paul that they were just breaking ranks. Hallelujah. Yet Paul says, whether in pretense or in truth, I rejoice. Why? Because the content of their message is Christ. Now, isn't it quite interesting that Paul didn't have the same disposition towards people who were preaching falsehood and preaching, false doctrines? Though some of them might be, might have good motives, some of them might be genuinely ignorant, Paul didn't have that kind of approach towards any of them. Paul combated falsehood, false teachers, to stand still. He says, whose mouth must be stopped. But then, in this case, where a man has false motives, but is preaching Christ, Paul says, I rejoice. Do you understand? I rejoice. Do you know why? False motives with the right message will be a blessing to people. False motive with the right message will save souls, will mature men. Right motives with the wrong message will destroy lives. So motives are not as important as the message in the ministry. Glory to God. Of course, when God tests our work and judge, he's going to judge everything we have done. He's going to test our hearts, judge our motives. So I'm not saying motives are not important with respect to how God examines us. I'm saying when it comes to the effect of the ministry on men, on lives, motives do not have the priority. Motives do not take the preeminence. It is about the message. It is the message that would influence the people. It is the message that will save souls or damn souls. It is the message that will mature the saints or hinder their spiritual growth in spite of motives. Hallelujah. Now, don't forget how we got here. I'm not saying you should run with a false motive, just have the right message. What we're saying, what we're discussing was how we are to receive from men, how to judge and test the ministries of men. So it is not about testing or looking out for their motives. It's about judging what they say. And if what they are saying is scripturally sound, is the truth of the word of God, we receive it. If what they are saying deviates from the truth of the word of God, in spite of their motives, we don't know, we are to reject it. We are to not receive. We are to withdraw and avoid such, doctrines. Hallelujah. We're going to continue from here on Monday. Do good to tune in with your friends, family members, colleagues. Put on your social media status and let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. And don't forget to have a great weekend of being full of the Word, full of the Spirit, spiritual songs, prayer, full of faith and power, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.